The Guardian.
World Cup Football Daily with James Richardson.
And we're off. Day one. Brazil start more Samba boys than Samba boys, but end up top of the world. Yes, looking down on Croatia, literally with a little bit of help from the referee. Day two, and what awaits for Cameroon, Mexico, Spain facing the Netherlands for the second World Cup in a row, and Chile, Australia. Australia, are they like Tory economic forecasts, just making up the numbers? We'll be finding out on day two of the World Cup. We've done it. We've gone and dusted off the old Podmark 1, the original near-Earth geostationary orbit vehicle, and stationed it up on high, way above the tear gas and the wafting sounds and smells of the rioters and the hoopla and the hullabaloo of this World Cup in Brazil. We're right above Brazil for the duration, and woo, this old baby sure can fly still. Barry Glendenning's here with us.
Hello, Jimbo.
Jacob Steinberg.
Hello.
James Horncastle.
Bom dia.
Wow. Bom dia.
Ah.
Gia, actually, yeah. But Barry, today, being Thursday, a very special day for us. Do you know why?
I have no idea.
It's the anniversary of our first ever pod, 8 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, sort of, might be. I didn't check, actually, but that was the start of a World Cup.
Where's the cake? And,
well, yeah, I want cake, or I'm going to throw my rattle out of the locker pram and storm off.
For some space cake for you. But yeah, 8 years ago, we were kicking off a World Cup in Germany. And if we could dust off those old tapes, we could just play those out. It's pretty much the same teams anyway.
Same jokes.
Same jokes, eh? Well, that was a special request, actually. Simon Smith tweeting and saying, "Hey, see, Jimbo, it's been a while since you wheeled out on top of the world looking down at Croatia. Long overdue a return, no?" Job done, Simon Smith. Job done. Lots of other people responding with comedy tweets, because I did ask if people could pitch in a bit. Jerome Fitzgibbon says, AC Jimbo, dive, says Fred. I quite like that. And, ooh, Magic Darts 180 with the goal from Ipanema. A bit of a stretch, but I think that might be today's winner. If only England had been playing, I think the winner would have been Russell of Paper. Tim Miller, who says, how about something about England players being a man or Manaus? Yep. Space. It's a tough audience. All right, now, down in Sao Paulo today, it was the kickoff of this new competition, Brazil-Croatia. Now, Barry, you were doing minute by minute.
Yes.
And, Jacob, you were doing five things we've learned about this game.
Yep.
Do you want us to go first, then?
Well, I'm happy to let Barry go first.
I don't know. Neither of you will have seen any of the game, because you'll have both been doing these articles, probably.
Yeah, I was looking elsewhere. James, do you want to go first?
Yeah.
All right, James.
I thought it was a great start. I didn't watch the opening ceremony, so I missed Pitbull. And Jennifer Lopez.
Right.
But the national anthems were amazing. Well, the Brazil one in particular, I thought they were, but then when it a cappella in the second verse, that was fairly strong. But everyone seemed to break down in tears during it. I think they were almost too pumped. You thought they were either going to come out and just blow Croatia away. In the end, they conceded inside 10 minutes, which is a bit of a shock, a bit of a surprise.
But they did come out pumped, didn't they? They were absolutely flying into the tackles, and it wasn't a surprise that they couldn't keep that intensity up, Jacob.
Well, I thought that Croatia approached the game in a commendable fashion. The way that they set out, you know, I think the last World Cup was, to be honest, just something I tried to put out of my mind now, given the way that it was so negative and not a lot of attacking football, nothing memorable about it at all. The signs from this game are it's going to be an end-to-end tournament with a lot of attacking football, and Croatia didn't come and park the bus. Played three sort of creative midfielders, Modric, and you know, pulling strings with Rakitic, and then they just went for Brazil in those early stages, trying to play on the nerves, and found so much space on the counter attack, and very unlucky in the end. Obviously, they got the goal, but very unlucky in the end, the way the game turned out, not to get something from the game itself.
Really,
could have drawn, could have won, and you know, if that's the way the tournament's going to be, then it's going to be great fun.
Right. Apart from their appalling refereeing decisions, that was awful, so much fun. Yeah.
No, it was, well, you know, it wasn't a penalty. Neymar could have been sent off. I don't think he should have been, but he could have been with a.
And the second, what would have been the second Croatia goal? How do you stand on that one?
I thought it wasn't a goal.
Right, okay. So it's really the penalty then?
Yeah.
Yeah, which a referee can make a mistake about. So maybe we shouldn't make such a drama about that. Barry, how did you enjoy the game?
I enjoyed it very much. I felt very sorry for Croatia, who I think were stiffed by the referee. No way was the challenge, or such as it was, on Fred worthy of a penalty. He went ground far too easily and conned the referee. And I thought the goalkeeping was very poor from both keepers. Stipe Pletikosa could conceivably have done better for all three Brazilian goals. He should have kept the penalty out after guessing the right way and getting both hands behind the ball, which was travelling at a nice height for him. For the third goal, he was sort of... He didn't seem to... His footwork wasn't the best, and he should have got down and kept out what was a, should have been a fairly straightforward routine save from the toe poke. And you could argue that he could have kept the first one out as well. So he will be very disappointed with his performance. And I thought in the other goal, Julius Caesar looked very rusty as well, which you would expect from a man who I think has only made about 12 appearances all season, 10 of them in the MLS for Toronto.
Fair point. Croatia, they should be all right. I mean, admittedly, we haven't seen the other two teams from the group yet, but...
I think they showed weaknesses in that Brazil side because, as Jacob was saying, the way they went at it in the first half, they seemed to get a lot of crosses into the box. And, yeah, both of Brazil's fullbacks were kind of left exposed on those sort of things. They were beaten quite easily. So I think other teams will perhaps draw some encouragement from that. But they certainly have enough quality to cause teams trouble. And Ivica Olic, while going forward, he seemed quite good fun. He gave the ball away a lot of the time as well. He was doing some incredible sort of ridiculous tricks to lose the ball, which I think if they continue to do that, it could prove quite costly for them.
Yeah,
I thought Ivan Rakitic as well seemed to make a lot of just mistakes when under pressure from what was fairly relentless Brazilian pressing, but they forced a lot of errors out of the Croatians when they were on the back foot, and there was a lot of very basic schoolboy errors.
How good was Neymar?
I thought he was very good. He was the standout player on the field, skipping through the Croatian defence on occasion into the penalty area, making these very incisive runs, and obviously scored two goals, and probably should have had a third if David Luiz hadn't got on the end of a cross from an excellent cross from Oscar when
he also had a bit of a special game, didn't he?
Yeah, when Neymar was in a much better position to convert it. But Fred didn't do much apart from win the penalty. He barely got a touch of the ball, and
Hulk didn't really do anything either.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot more to come from Neymar. That I thought there was that whole scare at the kickoff where before in the warm up where he seemed to twist his ankle, and then he was, as we say, maybe a little bit fortunate to get sent off. At that point, you think, "Oh God, is it all going wrong for the player on whom there's so much expectation, like, immense level of pressure on him?" And then, about 2 minutes later, he got that goal. But I think there's a lot more to come. I think that if you would think back to the way he played in the Confederations Cup last year, particularly against Spain, you can see that he can go up a level or two. But there's so much reliance on him.
Right, well, let's go across now to our man down among the huddle masses in Sao Paulo, Barney Rone. He was there at the World Cup opener. Barney, can you hear me?
I can, James, I can. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. How was it? What was the atmosphere like? Tell us everything.
Well, it was a strange atmosphere. It was quite fretful and nervous at times. Obviously very tense and excited crowd at the beginning, but it was one of those games where it kicks off and everything just seems to seep away. It was very quiet in those opening minutes. And Croatia, obviously, looked very well organised at the start. It broke quickly. Brazil's midfielder were playing very deep among the centre-backs. And the whole thing seemed very quiet at first. It was just transformed by the end when that third goal went in. The best of Scolari's Brazil. And everything felt very up and energised and excited. But it was a game that really could have gone wrong for Brazil as well.
Was that the Brazil you were expecting to see?
Yeah, I think it was, really. I mean, even at the press conference yesterday, Scolari pretty much said, "Look, don't come here expecting an exciting game and an avalanche of goals. And obviously playing down expectations, but Brazil do tend to start World Cup badly. The average result is a kind of narrow 2-1 victory. I think it would be North Korea 2-1 in the first game last time. And this is, I think, what we expected to see. Although there's lots of places they can improve. I thought the fullbacks today were really woeful. I mean, at times they're completely out of position. I'm not sure what they'll do about that. But they look to play with a much higher tempo in midfield, I think.
What about the rest of your opening day experience, Barney? What was the mood outside the stadium like? We saw all sorts of pictures of trouble there.
The mood was, which is a weird one. I mean, this entire World Cup so far is a weird mixture of an extremely nannying FIFA presence, as always, and very carefully policed public areas, combined with a populace that's basically very excited about the whole thing. And in a city here, which is Sao Paulo, is a big, dirty, messy, complicated city. It's not the kind of place that generally goes daffy for football. I think it's probably a bit more like that in Rio. But I think after that win, I think things will change a bit. I think people will settle down, particularly with Neymar scoring. I think they're going to get a double dose of Neymar fever now.
Cool. And Niko Kovac, I think that is, we can hear grumbling away in the background. Presumably not very happy with the way the officiating went.
He's the most not very happy looking man I think I've ever seen. I mean, he's a kind of fairly terrifying looking bloke at the best of times. But, I mean, he looked like he was about to rip his microphone apart without even fluttering his lip. He was very unhappy about the refereeing decisions. I think he thought Neymar should have been sent off. Didn't think it was a penalty. And to be fair, both of those could have gone the other way, although I didn't think it was a sending off. I thought it was just a bit of a hand in the face. It wasn't malicious. It is a contact sport, after all.
Mm, absolutely.
The penalty was very soft, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly was. Barney, producer Penn just points out, we haven't mentioned the opening ceremony. Any thoughts? Wry ones, perhaps?
Well, it was... these things are always atrocious, aren't they? They're a complete waste of time. It featured the largest tarpaulin I've ever seen. The entire pitch covered in this thing was really just rolled up and thrown away. And of course, the wretched Pitbull, who was predicted to be terrible and pointless and just a waste of time. And which is a bit of a shame, because I quite like the other bits, the walking trees and things. Brazil's quite a weird country, and that was quite weird.
Right.
But, the rest of it, the performance of the anthem was actually abysmal.
Right. Okay. All right, Barney, that was pretty wry. We look forward to getting your update then from Manaus ahead of Italy's big clash with England.
I'm looking forward to it too.
World Cup Football Daily with AC Jimbo.
Barney Roney in Sao Paulo. Right, a little bit of World Cup news. Ronaldo's limp. Cristiano Ronaldo hobbled out of Portugal's training session after 15 minutes with an ice pack on his knee. Well, worries that it could be Portugal on the rocks in Monday's clash with Germany in Salvador. Meanwhile, pitch in Manaus worry. Concerns over the pitch where on Saturday Italy faced Rooney and co. Unfit for purpose, covered in tufts with large bare patches. And the pitch isn't much better either. Officials apparently now plan to use emergency fertiliser on it with the combined press packs of Italy in England in town. Wherever will they find enough of that from? Pirlo to retire and Fabregas to return. Yes, while Andrea says he'll hang up his international boots after this World Cup. Cesc says the following 3 years at Barcelona, he'll be joining Chelsea after Arsenal turned down a first option to buy him. Mourinho had previously forced his last Spanish midfielder out, but he's willing to splash around 30 million for Fabregas because there are other clubs interested and he couldn't pass up the opportunity to have Cesc with himself. Although that's probably not a new experience in his case. And that's World Cup news. Hey! Friday, day two. Day two of the World Cup. And it's the second game from Group A as Mexico take on Cameroon. This can be quite interesting to see because we don't know that much about them, do we? I mean, we know Mexico had a rotten time in qualifying, but had done quite well under their new fella. Cameroon didn't want to get on the plane.
Yeah, well, Cameroon had their... now traditional row about bonus payments before even leaving the country and arriving in Brazil. But their preparations have been pretty wretched. Their coach, Walter Fink, is sort of working with one arm tied behind his back, not literally, but he has had these four sort of nannies appointed by the Cameroonian FA to sort of instruct him in the way of Cameroonian culture. He's a German, you see, and they're kind of constantly looking over his shoulder, annoying him and interfering in his business. Samuel Eto'o will be playing up front for them again. There are many who question whether he should even be in the team or in the squad, let alone captaining the team. And he seems to have an unhealthy amount of influence on team selection.
But he still does all their goals.
Well, yes. And goals, I think, have been a problem for them. Mm. They didn't pull up too many trees in qualifying. So, they're, you know...
We'll see tomorrow, shall we?
We will see tomorrow how much the disarray they're in, or if indeed any at all. But their qualification for the tournament was ropey at best, and the build-up has been disastrous. But Mexico have had plenty of problems of their own, and they're only scraped into their playoff against New Zealand courtesy of a helping hand from the USA. So they're just incredibly fortunate to be at the tournament at all.
Right. Okay.
A couple of Cameroon's players were late for training, weren't they? Because they were out looking for a bureau d'échange to change some money and couldn't find one, so they missed training.
Really?
Apparently they were woken up at 10 o'clock on Wednesday night in their hotel because... They had a meeting, a visit from the sports minister of Cameroon, who then sort of gave them an hour-long speech that was, you know, surely well-received at that hour.
Right.
Yeah.
10 o'clock, there's no time to be doing business. Mexico, problems for... Looks like Chicharito, they're saying that he might be benched on account of his woeful form, and that they might go with the... No?
I don't think he was ever a likely starter at all.
Was he not?
No, I mean, he played very little part in qualification, and their main striker is a
Peralta.
Called Peralta, who scored 10 goals en route to Brazil.
Yeah, I've got 8 goals in 6 in my stats pack, and he was, of course, the man who put the brace past Brazil, the star of their Olympic gold.
Yeah, in the final in London in 2012.
What?
But, it would be more of a surprise for Hernandez to start than for him to not start, as far as I know.
That's Mexico-Cameroon, anyway. It is. I'm not going to call that one. I'm just going to wait and see. Do you want to call it? No.
I haven't even checked to see who the favourites are with the bookies, which was... so I don't know. I will call... I would plump for Cameroon myself.
Really? I'm going to say Mexico. How about that, listeners? Then it's on to Group B. Chile are taking on Australia, another game I'm very excited about. Both have got great anthems. And if you don't believe me, check this out. That's Chile. And here comes Australia. Ooh, feeling this.
Australians,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Sure, that's not Chile. Sure, that's not Chile.
Is this one Chile? No. There you go. Those are the sounds that are going to be ringing out at the stadium where they're playing. They're Barry, I don't know if you could check in your guide.
They're playing in Curitiba.
Oh, they're playing in Curitiba.
Oh, sorry, I can't read.
Yeah, Curitiba. Okay.
Those aren't close to being the best anthems.
Oh, go on then, Jacob.
Italian national anthem is the
really?
Best.
Really? I'm surprised you say that.
No.
Which bit? Not all of it.
All of
really?
It.
Really?
I've listened to the full 4 minutes.
Well,
I'm not going to sing it now.
No. Well, we'll hear that later
If you want passion, though, I know that there was that a cappella version of the Brazilian national anthem tonight, but do you remember 98, Zamorano, before
he
was belting out the Chilean national anthem? I don't know what game it was. I think it was in the group stage. And by the end, his sort of eyes are bulging. It looks like he's about to hit somebody. And I wouldn't have wanted to be standing next to him at that point, but I assume that's a game they would have won.
Bam, bam.
Right. Yeah. Chile, funnily enough, are taking on Australia in Curitiba. Talk about pit bulls. They've got one here as well, haven't they? Gary Medel. Plumperball says, I'm Australian and I like this podcast. Thank you. Well, thank you, Plumperball. What about Plumperball and his Aussie chums? Are they going to be... is it going to be a bit of a grim, rude awakening, this?
I fear badly for Australia in this tournament. They're a team in transition with a relatively new manager, and they've ditched a load of their sort of senior citizens who either have retired or not been picked. And they're in a horrible group with three excellent teams. Mm. So I feared they're going to ship a lot of goals in all three matches. And I would say if they even got a point or indeed scored a couple of goals, that would be a heroic achievement for them.
You wouldn't be
tournament.
Surprised if they didn't get any points or even score a goal in this tournament?
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Really?
No.
Well, that's...
So, you know, that bodes well for them because I get these things wrong and they may well win all three games and top the group.
I go along with that, I think. You know, I got Australia in the sweepstake in the office and I point this out on Twitter and Australian fans are sort of, oh God, bad luck. And I think someone sent me a picture of Australian players celebrating, saying this is us, but just when we win the coin toss, we take kickoff first. So, you know, they're not very optimistic.
Yeah.
So I think we can be justified in... not tipping them to do well.
Thing is, the Chile team they're facing, a lot of clever folk are calling them the likely surprise side of this World Cup. What do you think, James?
I would agree. My only concern about them is the fitness of Arturo Vidal. I saw him, or footage of him training. He was doing some football tennis, and he just couldn't move. And I know there are reports that he trained today, but the way he was kind of... ambling around and then had to kind of take the strapping down on his knee, sit down and look very kind of disconsolate, didn't sort of fill me with a lot of optimism. I guess the hope is that, you know, they'll have enough to go past Australia, which I think they still will quite comfortably, and he'll maybe recover some of that fitness, some of that freedom of movement for the later games in this group stages, because I do think along with Alexis, yeah, he's their main difference maker.
All right. 19 goals this season in all competitions for Barcelona, even though it wasn't the best of seasons for him there. Barca, there you go.
Part of it, though, with Chile, I think that they are... I would make Holland the third favourites in that group. I think Chile, a lot of people would think that they're going to finish above them. But part of it, I think, in this country is because they beat England so convincingly. I think a lot of people would tip them and sort of ignore maybe Colombia, for example...
And who beat them in the World Cup qualifying.
Yeah, and seemed like a better team. But you know, a lot of people, I think, maybe going slightly overboard about Chile, even though they do look pretty promising.
Hmm. Well, it sounds intriguing. A couple of people tweeting in, ooh, Roger Palmer. Has anyone noticed the Brazilian time difference is giving Europeans the best World Cup schedule possible? Come on, the Socceroos. Do Roger Palmer. And it's quite late, but it's better than some, isn't it, this timing? Match time, yeah. Right. Downhill like Tomba gives us this bit of news. Bizarre moment fail of the World Cup so far has to be the Archdiocese of Rio de Janeiro looking to claim damages of €7 million from Italian state broadcaster Rai for using images of the statue of Christ the Redeemer in its trailers. True story, apparently. Amazing.
Rai are playing a blinder. I watched Italy Fluminense the other week, and they lost the feed. And they missed all the goals in the first half. That's your state broadcaster. Very good.
You wouldn't see an English broadcaster do that in a World Cup. No. Doesn't happen here.
Angle poise lamps are making big news as well.
Because?
Because at the media centre in Sao Paulo, and presumably everywhere else as well, each desk has an angle poise lamp on it for... all those journalists who still write using a quill and paper and don't have laptops with self-illuminating screens. But everywhere I look or everything I tune into, all I hear is Jonathan Wilson complaining
about
angle poise lamps.
That's amazing.
It's like, whatever about complaining about something that hasn't been provided, it seems quite churlish to complain about the presence of something that has been provided just because you don't need it.
Absolutely. Barry, and to think they said that stadiums wouldn't be ready. Now,
exactly.
Let's have a look then at the other big game in Group B. Well, the other game, in fact, in Group B. It is Spain-Netherlands. It is Sid Lowe joining us on the line. I'm not quite sure from where. Hey, Sid, where are you?
I'm in Salvador.
Where?
Salvador, Jim.
Oh, he's in Salvador. All right. All right, Salvador.
Well, because obviously Spain are playing here tomorrow night.
They certainly are. They're only taking on Netherlands for the second straight World Cup game. They're up against the Dutch.
Yeah, they are, but there's a big change. And Del Bosque was great on this today. He had the stats. He He was talking about how Spain had changed, but Holland hadn't. Sorry, the other way around. How Spain hadn't changed, but Holland had.
Ooh.
And he gave us the stats. He said Holland have got, the ratio is 17 to 6 in a Holland team. 17 players who weren't in the last World Cup, 6 who were. And Spain, he said, are the other way around. And I suppose that kind of puts it in quite a nice little nutshell.
Brilliant stuff, Sid. One of the new faces for Spain is Diego Costa, who, is he fit?
Yes, he is, yeah. He's been training quite well. Looks pretty sharp, looks pretty quick. Apparently, and I must confess, I can't claim this as first-hand information because I only arrived here last night, but apparently in training sessions he can't score for Toffee at the moment. All of his charges are going wide or over or hitting the bar. But he does look physically fit, which is the most important thing because, of course, he comes off the back of that little run of three games in a row where he had to pull out. Well, three big games, anyway, yeah. Although that he had to pull out.
Absolutely. What do you think, Sid? There's been a lot of people downsizing their expectations with Spain, people saying that their time may be slipping away, but it's not the first time that there've been naysayers and they've gone on to prove them wrong. How strong is this Spain team?
I genuinely don't know. I mean, I think every time I sort of think to myself, well, they're not quite what they were, or there are doubts, they didn't have a habit of being able to compete better than they expected. I think one of the things we sometimes overlook when we talk about Spain is how competitive they are. In tournaments, they've played 10 consecutive knockout games, if we count finals and knockout games, and not even conceded, let alone being beaten. They're a side that I think are very, very clear in what they're trying to do. I do think there are a couple of doubts. I mean, obviously, there's a doubt about the centre-forward, but Costa is likely to be the starter there. I think there are doubts about whether Danny can still run a game like he wants. Good. I still think that there is a final tournament here.
Oh, losing your Sid there.
Sorry?
I think we lost you a bit there, but we got the general doubts. What? Another quick question, just in case this line goes. Big news about one of their key players, and that's Cesc Fabregas and his big money move to Chelsea. Were you surprised about that?
I was surprised by the location, I think, more than by the fact that he went. Last summer, there was obviously all that talk about Manchester United, which was never really...
Right.
Like, key parties.
Well, that was Sid Lowe in South... Oh, it still is. Sid!
Are you asking him?
Yeah, I don't think this phone's going to work out for us. We'll try and catch up with you after the Netherlands game, if we can. Yeah,
I had a really important question I wanted to ask him about whether or not there are Anglepoise lamps in Salvador Media Centre.
Well, I guess we'll be finding out tomorrow evening.
Make sure to remind me to ask.
Right. What do you think? What do you think Sid was saying there, Jacob, about the Cesc move?
I think what I could hear was that he thought it's not a surprise that he left.
Right.
But he's surprised about where he went.
Yep.
Because it was very political.
Ooh.
And he never thought he was going to go to Man United. That was a non-starter.
Wasn't saying that it was it looked politically difficult for Barcelona to let him go at one stage because...
Last year?
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's...
Right. There you go, listeners.
Well, a certain celebrity Arsenal fan whose name I can't even bring myself to mention has been pontificating, saying that apparently his wage demands were so massive at Arsenal that they would refuse to pay him, and that's why they didn't take up their option.
Oh, really?
Mm. And as this fella, Piers Morgan, he's not a popular man, but he generally seems to know, but be well connected and well informed about these things.
Well, it certainly caught me by surprise. I'll say that much, Barry. That's it for today's opening of the World Cup with Brazil 3-1 winners over Croatia and so much more football to come. We'll sign off. We'll be back Friday night, very much Saturday morning with the reaction to those matches. James, you'll be back. I think Barry, you will be as well.
I believe so, yes.
Wow. Jacob, how about you?
Maybe tomorrow, I'm not sure.
All right.
Oh, he's flagging already.
Hey, listeners, hope you'll be along for another edition of World Cup Football Daily. Same time, same channel. See you then.
World Cup Football Daily, just like being in Brazil.